The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Well, recently I've been able to do some building work with my dad, and you know, any good builder knows how important our foundations are, right? I mean, who wants to live in a house like this? We've got some new developments around the corner of my place. They don't look anything like this. But it always amazes me when I watch new houses and buildings going up, just how long it seems to take when nothing seems to happen. You know, you just see the soil being sort of moved around, and it's like months and months and months where it seems like nothing's going on. And then all of a sudden, once you see, you know, the concrete slab go in, you see the framing go up, boom, all of a sudden it's like the house is up. And yet the builders know that if they're going to build on something that's going to last, that's going to be a good home to live in, that's going to be able to endure and be worthwhile, they need to spend time on the foundations. Foundations are so important. You know, even though it took over two centuries to build the Leaning Tower of Pisa, it still came out leaning because they didn't get the foundations quite right. And we know when we don't get the foundations right, things can go very bad. You know, I wonder, church, what Jesus would say that our foundations should be. You know, as believers, what is it really all about? How can you and I build a life on something that is meaningful? A life on something that is worthwhile? How can we build a life on something that's going to last and endure? You know, we could come up with our own definitions of what's meaningful. We could come up with our own ideas of what's worthwhile. But, you know, as believers, we gather around Jesus, and we're so privileged that, you know, we don't just have to come up with our own ideas as finite beings that might live to, you know, 100 if you're blessed. But we get to consult the Ancient of Days. We get to hear from him and unpack, hear from him his wisdom as to what it's all about. And he who has revealed his wisdom ultimately through Jesus Christ. And so it's such a good thing for us that Jesus actually has answered this question. What's it really all about? What can we build on? If you have your Bibles with you, and if you don't, you're at home in your lounge rooms, I think, so you can just go and grab your Bible and get it ready. We're going to turn to Mark chapter 12, the Great Commandment. This morning, I want to highlight two scriptures that give us three primary foundations that Jesus tells us to focus on. These are the things that we as individuals and we as the church can actually build our life around. So let's turn to Mark chapter 12, and we're going to read from verse 28. And it's here on the screen if you don't have your Bible, you didn't get it in time. This is what the passage says. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." And we see that that's the context of this passage, that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they're debating, and they come to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, according to you, what's it all about? We've studied the scriptures, we've heard, we've got some ideas, but according to you, Jesus, what's the Christian life about? What's the Jesus way of life? You're speaking, you're teaching, you're gathering a movement, people are following you. Jesus, what are you asking them to build their life around? If you're going to be the cornerstone to build on, what is it really all about? When you boil it all down, when you strip everything away, Jesus, what is it all about?" And what's Jesus' response? The first thing he says is that you and I, church, would love God. That we would love God. The first thing to build our foundation upon is the love of God. To know how much God loves us. To experience that outrageous grace that's offered through Jesus Christ. To experience that love from our Father. And to love Him in return. To love Him with our heart, with our mind, with our soul, with our strength, with all our strength. You know, I love here that Jesus, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they love to debate, you know, these sorts of laws and these subsets of laws. And Jesus could have engaged with them on that level, getting into all that technical stuff. But He just strips it all back and He says, you know, ultimately it's about loving God. And so my hope for each one of you, church, is that your affection for Jesus continues to grow and grow. That your affection for Jesus continues to be that thing that you just keep stepping towards. Ultimately, it's not about just being this good moral person. Ultimately, it's about that work of God, that He does that amazing transformation from the inside of our hearts, and He gives us that new heart, and we experience that love, and then we love Him in return. And you know, this is not saying that we can't have those days or those seasons that are down days, that are down seasons. We have up and down times. If you doubt that, that's okay. Just read the Psalms. You know, you read the Psalms and you see the roller coaster ride that someone like King David, who is told to be a man after God's own heart, he experienced the highs and the lows. And so we can have those down days, we can have those lows, but that doesn't mean we can't keep stepping and growing towards God and that love of God. What I'm trying to say, church, it's about the direction of your life. That ultimate direction of your life is about knowing God's love and loving Him in return. In this passage, when Jesus is asked what the most important commandment is, you know, I think He doesn't actually ultimately give an action to be done, but He gives something far greater. He gives a whole of life consuming principle. You know, Ezekiel talks about the days would come when we would receive a new heart. And it's that idea of our transformation that comes from the inside out, not the outside in. It's about knowing God's love, experience God's love, not getting transformed because we subscribe to a bunch of moral laws, but knowing that love that transformed from the inside out. It's what Jesus said when He said, you know, you clean the cup on the inside and the outside will also be clean. And so we see that the first thing Jesus says is that we love the Lord our God with all our heart. It's that new heart that He gives us. And this is the very center of who we are. This is, you know, the real you on the inside. You love Him with your heart. There's that affection for Jesus there. You love the Lord your God with all your soul, our will, our emotions. We bring this into alignment for His glory. We can love God with all our mind. You know, we're to love God with the fullness of our mental abilities. God cares about our mind. He cares about our intellect. He cares about our thought life. We love Him with the way we think, our attitudes. It means we can love God when we study, when we gain knowledge. These are ways we also can love God with our mind. And then He says this interesting word here too. We love Him with all our strength. And of course, He's quoting from the Old Testament, which, as you know, I'm sure is written in Hebrew. And so that original word that gets translated strength, it's a very interesting word. For you English nerds out there, that word strength is actually an adverb. It's an adverb. It doesn't really mean strength like muscle. It's the same word that's used in Genesis 1 during the story of creation, where God creates the world, He creates everything. And what does He say? On day 1, He looks at His creation, He says it's good. On day 2, He looks at it, He says it's good. Day 3, it's good. And we get to the final day of Him creating, day 6, when He creates humans, and He looks at creation, what does He say? He says it's very good. That's that same word that's actually translated for strength. It's an adverb. It's meod good is what it's saying there. The way this can be interpreted is to actually say what Jesus is saying, we love God with all our muchness. It's like, it's an adverb when, you know, my son Simeon, he says, "Dad, I love you so much," and that melts your heart. That's that idea. We love God so much with our muchness. We love him with the veriness of us. We love him with everything we've got. And it also means, it reminds me of the fact that we don't need to divide, you know, the sacred and the secular divide. We don't just love God with the things that we might stereotypically call sacred, like going to church, reading your Bible, praying. We love him with everything we do. We love him with our work. We can love him when we eat food. We love him with our muchness, with everything we've got. You know, it's interesting, too, that we read here in Mark 12, and it's also this commandment in the Synoptic Gospels, but it's interesting that when Jesus is asked what's the one greatest commandment, Jesus says there's one greatest commandment, and yet he sort of gives us two commands. I mean, is Jesus bad at maths, or is something deeper going on? And when we talk about the great commandment, we call it the great commandment. We don't call it the great commandments, plural. We call it the great commandment, and yet there's like two layers to what he's saying. And so the second foundational point that I want to make is very much connected to the first idea of loving God. We love others and we love God. But the way that we love God includes loving others. The two aren't separated. They're very much interconnected. We love our neighbours as ourselves. We love others, and that is so much connected with our loving God. They're not separated. They're closely connected. As believers, we don't sort of say, oh, you know, my focus is on sort of my private devotions and just my private love of God, and sort of your focus is going to be on loving others. That's like where you're gifted at. It doesn't actually work like that. If we don't know how to love others, we actually don't know the love of God. The two are so much closely connected. And I think that's what Jesus is highlighting here. You know, in the New Testament, there's actually about 100 references to one another's. Over 100 references to one another's. And that reminds us that the gospel is not just this private devotion affair with God. I mean, yes, it is that, but it's more than that. The gospel goes out. It goes out to one another. It impacts our cities. It impacts our relationships. The gospel is about one another. Be at peace with one another. Wash one another's feet. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you. Forgive one another. These are just a sample. Don't worry, I'm not going to say all 100. But you know, the Bible seems to say, when you dig down deep, when you get to the foundations, when you want to measure someone's maturity in spiritual things, if you want to measure someone that's growing in Christ-likeness, the main thing you look at is the love. The love they have for God and the love that they have for others. That's the mark. In fact, Jesus said, "How do you know my disciples? You will know them by the love that they have for one another." And so, church, ask yourself that question. Am I growing in that love of God and the love for one another? You know, it's why Paul could write in Romans 5:13, love fulfills the law. He's saying when you boil it all down, when you look at it, it comes down to love. Love fulfills the law. And we know that Jesus Christ is the perfect fulfillment of this. This is why we gather around Jesus Christ and we look to him and we worship him and we say, he's the one that's done it. It's the story of the Old Testament. It's the overarching story of the Bible where Israel, time and time and again, failed at loving God and loving others. Jesus Christ came on the scene and he did that perfectly. And he actually asks us as his disciples, as his followers, to continue to build on this rock of loving God and loving others. Church, build on this foundation. And so that's that first key scripture. It's almost like an identity statement for us, the great commandment. We're a people that know the love of God and we love others. This is who we are. And then we look at what we do, and I think the second key foundational scripture I want to leave with is the Great Commission. We've got the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And hopefully you know this passage very well, but I'm going to read it out in full for you as well. In Matthew 28, we read the Great Commission, the last thing that Jesus leaves his disciples to do, the mission that he gives his church. It says this, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them, and he said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Church, this is the mission that Jesus has given us, that he has left us with to do. This is a foundation that we need to build on. And I'm not going to say too much about this. There's so much I could unpack about this scripture, but I just want to encourage each one of you to read this passage and to actually read the Gospels with fresh lenses, to read the Gospels, to read the book of Acts, and go back and really look at how Jesus made disciples. How Jesus made disciples. And let's learn from that, and may that impact the way that we go on in making disciples ourselves. So we love God, we love others, we make disciples. You know, I remember at different times in my life I've had the privilege of being able to travel to different cities around the world. And one of the things I love to see is the historical sites and the architecture. And one time I remember being in Turkey, we got to go to one site, and when we got there, there was scaffolding all around the site that we wanted to see. And we understood that, you know, it needed to be there to help repair the building. But we were so disappointed because the scaffolding was in our way. You know, church, when a building is being built or repaired, scaffolding is the temporary structure that is built around or inside it to give workers access to the construction site. But when the building is completed, the scaffolding is removed. You don't want to keep it there or it ruins the whole thing. It ruins the purpose of the building. You know, church, every church program, building, denomination, every extra biblical tradition is, when it comes down to it, it's like scaffolding. We put it in place to help us achieve these two foundational things, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And it's there for a season. And, you know, unfortunately, we all can have a tendency to sort of get emotionally attached to the scaffolding. But after years of working on it and living in it, it's easy to mistake the scaffolding for the main project. And when we do that, we miss it. Let's never hide the mission of the church from people's view behind layers of other stuff, because at the end of the day, it's just scaffolding. And, you know, I think personally that that's some of what the Lord's doing in this season for believers all around the world. During this time, he's really shaking up some of that scaffolding. And so I want to leave you with that thought, church, and with that question to ask yourself. What would it mean for you personally to actually build around these foundations in your life? To be committed to building a life around loving God, loving others, and making disciples. How would that impact the way that you spend your time, the way that you spend your energy, the resources you have? How can you build on these foundations and allow them to shape your life that you want to build on as you seek to follow Jesus and glorify God in all you do? One of the things I love that we do at the end of our services is we always ask that question, what did God say to me today? What did God say to me today? What is it that you have heard from the Lord out of everything we've unpacked in this service this morning? What's the one thing that's really stood out to you? What's that revelation? What's that thing that God has spoken to you about? What did God say to me today? What have I learned? What have I heard from the Lord? And the next question to ask yourself is, what will I do with what I've heard? How do I respond to this? What's one thing that I perhaps can do with what I've heard? take time to think about that, to write it down. If you've got something in your mind, share it with those around you. What's one thing that I can do with what I've heard?
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.